Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's move on to the Gilgo Beach murders. They've, of course, haunted Long Island now for several decades. 11 sets of remains found along Ocean Parkway. Community desperately searching for answers. Families waiting for justice. And now Rex Heuermann, the architect from Massapequa, stands accused of killing 7 women between 1993 and 2011. His push to split the charges into separate trials have been denied. That means one jury will hear all of it, from the earliest murder in 93 to the discovery of bodies along the highway in 2010. Jennifer Coffendaffer with us to help break down this investigation, the forensic, the psychological layers of all of this moving forward. What was your take on this, where the judge ruled that all 7 counts are going to be tried together? Prosecutors have argued that the murders were inextricably interwoven. And, well, I mean, the court agreed.
You know, it's such a balancing act between the prejudice that it can create in trying to show all this information from all 7, when many of the places, the dates, obviously the people were quite different. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, the defense is saying, you cannot do this to me. You can't do this to my client. This is so unfair. These were separate occasions, separate instances, and if you bring in the other 6, well, of course they're going to get a conviction, because they're going to say, oh my gosh, this is a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the prosecution, as you well pointed out, is saying, no, they are so much alike. The MO was alike, the area was similar, the persons that were targeted were all people that provided sexual services. So really, it's all one. I got to tell you, though, I was pretty surprised. I mean, take a look at, you know, a case you know so well is Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. Split. Mm-hmm. They're too prejudicial, right? And that's one that, to me, should have been kept together.
Yeah.
You look at this and you say, you know, all these years apart, it's a win for the prosecution.
It seems to be right now. I'll say that, but the more I look at that, I mean, yes, there are a lot of similarities, but we're talking 2 decades, all the way to 93 to 2010. We're talking different methods of killing. You do have some that are similar. You got the handful that have the burlap sacks with Heuermann's hair and stuff. And look, I think there's a good chunk of these that, yes, without a doubt, I think you can nail Heuermann on. But when you start introducing other ones that may not quite have the strong of evidence on them, and they are just other, and I'm not trying to denigrate the women by any means, but they're other sex workers who have been killed. And look, they find a lot of sex workers who have been killed in New Jersey and in Long Island and New York. I mean, just by mass population, you're going to find more bodies in different places because there's so many damn people. To lump them all together, could that be a misstep where it may not necessarily work in the favor of them, where the jury's not just going to go eventually and say, well, it's a serial killer because this and this and this. People don't trust law enforcement all that much these days. And rightfully so, especially in this area of the country where you had this case not being investigated for 10 years because of a corrupt officer, because of the corrupt chief for all of that time. So if they're being fed this, and we really think it's this, and then this kind of week over here on some of these, I could see a jury going and saying, well, these don't really seem to add up that much. These ones kind of do, but how do we believe your solid ones over here when you're trying to give us the same bill of goods on these, and it's clearly not the same bill of goods?
Well, I do think, Tony, there's a lot that we still don't know, right?
Yeah.
This case was indicted, so we didn't have a preliminary hearing.
Yeah.
Haven't seen a vast amount of the evidence, I think, that is going to be shown. And so there can be other links that we just don't know about. But I agree that I think as a prosecutor, I would have asked for this, hoping that I got the moon, which they did.
Mm-hmm.
But it wouldn't have bothered me as a prosecution team to have the ones that were more contemporaneous in time and showed the exact MO to be lumped together, and the ones that weren't to be held separate. Do I think it's going to be a critical error? I don't know if on appeal down the road, if there's a conviction, but also keep in mind, Tony, gosh, this is one of those cases where the evidence is unbelievable.
Yeah.
The DNA, that ruling came earlier, that the DNA is coming in.
Yeah. And yes. And we can talk about that in a moment with the new DNA ruling, but that's my point. I mean, there is a slam dunk on some of these, but just there's an element to this case where it feels like, well, we got these unsolved ones. We better get those off of our docket. So let's just add them in. That's not the way to solve a crime. And it denigrates the value of the human lives that have been taken as well. Let me ask you this, and this is an opinion question. If these had not been sex workers over the course of almost, 20 some years, if one had been an attorney, if one had been a teacher, if one had been a sex worker, the other had been whatever, insert any other type of job here that doesn't involve doing things that are illegal for money. Do you think it would have been a trial that's going to combine all these people, or would it have been separate murder trials?
Well, let me say this. If they would have been lawyers, teachers,
Yeah. Teachers,
whatever, homemakers.
Sure.
This case would have been solved so much earlier.
Uh-huh.
Rex Heuermann needs credit from this standpoint. He absolutely chose a trade that was so easy to murder and have swept under the rug because nobody knew where they were at typically. Nobody cared where they were at typically. And it was typical for them to not want to be known by anybody where they were at. So you add that all together, and that's probably the biggest problem with this case is how historic it is. And so this was an important coup for the prosecutor, Tony, because as you said, and I know what you're getting at, you can't just say, oh, because, you have a sex worker that's dead. Oh, Rex Heuermann's over here. Let's throw him the bone.
I feel like that kind of almost plays into my point, though, too, where it's like, yeah, Rex Heuermann knew that. So do other people. So do other criminals and other horrible people who would go and take the lives of people like this because they view them less as human. It's not any sort of secret that these sort of cases don't get the investigation that they deserve as human beings. So it's not shocking to think that other people were murdered by other human beings. I mean, how often is it that you have a serial killer that stabs, strangles, dismembers each victim differently and at different dump sites? I mean, typically you have some sort of a regular MO going on here. I know some are a bit different, but it is kind of an oddity that all these are different. Maybe he evolved over time. I don't know. But again, I feel like it's another argument that the defense has.
Oh, the defense has some good arguments here. I don't think they're going to hold water against the DNA and other evidence, but they have some good. And you just pointed out one. But remember, as I mentioned earlier, dismemberment typically occurs because of the practicality of it, of the goal of it, which is to hide or otherwise disguise what's been done. In other words, you chop it all up, you send it out to sea, and you hope nobody finds it. Or you start part here and part there, and nobody can really make heads or tails figuring out what happened, right? That's the purpose. And then as killers get better, if you will, at their trade, they find better dump sites. I mean, look at how long this took for some of these bodies to even be found. And then the stage of decomposition that they were at, you're looking at, you know, the peaches tattoo. You know, that's what you've got to work with. So, you know, you do get, these people do get better at their trade, if you will, you know, better at committing murder. And I think it's going to be stitched together, though, with DNA and with general MO.
Do you think that, I mean, if they have, because we know we have DNA in some of the bodies, and that's with the hair, and we'll talk about that here in a second. But are they, do you think they're holding back other DNA evidence on these other bodies that they've linked to Huerman, other than the fact that they were on the same beach or nearby other, I mean, I'm curious what's in the cards when this actually does go to trial that's going to connect some of these to Huerman stronger than what we actually know.
I think there could be more DNA. I think that's very likely. Also, I haven't heard much about things that might have been at his house from them. We know the secret room or whatever.
True.
I mean, what would it, for instance, I'll give you an example. When the search warrant first happened, and they literally had one of those box trucks, large box trucks pull up to put all this evidence in. There was one thing that came out of that house that always bothered me. And it was a very large scale, like a 3-foot doll.
I know. I can picture it. It's creepy. Yes. It's like a horror movie.
And as I said at the time, listen, there's a reason they took that doll.
Yeah.
Detective agent wants to take evidence out of a home that you're not going to use. You're sitting in your evidence vault. Once the case is closed, now you're trying to get rid of it. What am I going to do with this? I got to give it back, or I got to have it incinerated. There's all these legal issues you've got to go through. You take evidence because you believe it to be evidence. That made me wonder, is this doll somehow made in any way, shape, or form, whether it's the hair, clothing, go back to these people? That's
oh, God.
Because why else do you take the doll? Or if it was used for sexual gratification, which also could have been, but how is it linked to your murder suspects? It's linked, I think.
I mean, it can be more benign than he was making a murder doll out of victims. I mean, that's pretty freaking horrible. That sounds like, that's like a movie.
Look at what he did, Tony.
There was a movie, wasn't there a movie like Bringing Out the Dead or something years ago? There was like that. It could be that.
What's that?
It silenced the eye. It's Clarice. all the way to the FBI. It could be also, it could be somebody that they have maybe as a witness or something of that nature that had been in the Huerman house that can attest that that doll was there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.